You're listening to Alan Hahn's Knicks Fix Podcast, exclusively on the ESPN New York app.
Hello and welcome to the Knicks Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Hahn, and on Saturday night in Cleveland, we saw something we haven't seen in 24 years. We saw the Knicks win a game one on the road.
Free throws good. Knicks by four. No timeouts for Cleveland. 4.3 to go. 101-97. Grimes clutch. Inbounds to Mitchell. 3 seconds up the floor. 1 second in midcourt. Jumps, fires a three at the buzzer. Banker missed, and it's over. The Knicks with the KO in game one. Final score in Cleveland. The Knickerbockers 101. The Cavs 97. And the Knicks still went on the road. They lead the best of seven series here in Cleveland, Ohio.
Ed Cohen on the call, and the old heads will remember the 99 Knicks came in as the eighth seed in that lockout shortened season after upsetting the Miami Heat in the first round. Then they swept the Hawks in the second round, and they go to Indiana, and they took game one in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers, and that set the tone, of course, for a six-game series win that sent them to the NBA Finals. That was the last time the Knicks won a game one on the road all the way back then. I am on record in saying that I believe the Knicks will win this first-round series against the Cavaliers in six games as well. To do that, they had to win one of the first two games in Cleveland. Mission accomplished. With their first playoff series lead now in a decade, the Knicks are in control of the series. So share this with all your friends, all those Knicks haters out there that you know as well. In NBA playoff history, the winner of game one of a best of seven series goes on to win the series 75% of the time. How do you like those odds? All right, so how'd they take game one? It was a 101-97 win over the Cavs. This is how they did it, guys. By the formula that has worked for this team for the better part of this season. So you start with Julius Randle, who gets the offense going early. Then the bench comes in and helps build on that lead. And then the offensive rebounding. Critical extra possessions for the team in a playoff game. And then enter Sandman, Jalen Brunson closes the deal. So where do we begin? Well, let's begin with Randle. All week long, Tom Thibodeau would only reveal that Randle was, you know, making progress towards a return to the lineup after missing the last five games of the regular season with an ankle sprain. I mean, I was saying on my show on Bart and Hahn, I was saying how if he doesn't go full contact in practice, he might not go in game one, but there was always this sense that Randle, like, because he's not the type of guy that likes to sit games out. He will always try to play. So there was this sense that he was going to give it a go, and he was indeed in the starting lineup, and the ankle looked fine. And Randle talked about just the process of getting him to being ready to play in game one.
I prepared myself mentally for it. I knew it was going to be tough just coming back with my conditioning and stuff like that, but it was a good first win for us. Johnny Bryant put me through the ringer over this past week and really made it tough for me. So he prepared me for this, and you know, I'm good to go.
And Johnny Bryant being the associate head coach who works with Randle a lot, and you know, also, by the way, shout out to the teams, to the medical staff that also, I mean, around the clock making sure that he was getting the treatment that he needed. Remember, he missed 17 days since that injury. So he did have some time, but the ankle kept him out the last five games of the regular season. And Randle was a guy that was looking to play all 82. I mean, he does not sit out. I mean, this is not a load management kind of player. He made sure to get himself back out there. And it was his 16 points in the first half that was the most important, especially if you consider that Jalen Brunson got into early foul trouble. So the fact that you even got 19 points and 10 rebounds out of Julius Randle in his first game back after missing all that time with the ankle injury, what a great sign that was, because it was an X factor. You had no idea. That was an unknown. Randle's production was a variable for this game. And so while the end of the game was in the hands of Brunson and a huge shot by Josh Hart that we'll get to, Randle fought his way to get a critical offensive rebound with 10 seconds to go and the Knicks up by two. That offensive rebound that he was able to secure now forced the Cavs to have to foul as they moved the ball around. Quentin Grimes got the ball, went to the free throw line, and made both big free throws, and that pretty much locked up the win. All right, another element, the bench. Now, if I told you that Emmanuel Quickley, who, by the way, was just named the finalist for Sixth Man of the Year in the NBA, that he was going to go 0 for 5 and have three turnovers, would you believe me if I said the Knicks bench would still dominate? No, you wouldn't. But that's what happened. While Quickly had a rare off night, Josh Hart made winning play after winning play. And oh, by the way, this was his NBA playoff debut. But somebody that has had success with him at the college level, Jalen Brunson, not surprised.
Unreal. That's just what he does. I said it after the game. It doesn't matter if it's not pickup, not preseason, playoffs. He plays that way every single time. That's just how he is. That's how he's wired. And he's just big time.
I mean, after Kevin Durant, name me another player who was traded at the deadline in February who has had a bigger and more positive impact on this team than Josh Hart. Maybe another player. I mean, Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant. Like, he's the best player, one of the best scorers in the league. So when you trade a Kevin Durant, the Suns just got better, exponentially better. They became a championship contender. So you can't say it was a better trade. But you can say that there's no other team that made a deal that had that kind of an impact as Josh Hart has had. What a trade this has turned out for this team. So if we were talking hockey, if we were doing Don LaGreca's podcast, right? Josh Hart would be one of the three stars of the game. Easily one of the three stars of the game in game one. He has 17 points, 10 rebounds, a cathartic three with like a minute 50 to go, just under 2 minutes to go, that gave the Knicks the lead for good. And before that shot, anybody remembers if you're watching the game or listening on the air, the shot clock was winding down, the play was broken, the Cavs were rolling, they had all the momentum. It looked like they were going to survive game one. They were going to take the game. And it did feel like a couple of years ago where the Knicks felt like they were going to win game one and then a couple of bad bounces. And the next thing you know, the Hawks won game one. And the whole series just suddenly felt different. This was different. Hart hits that shot. Oh, I didn't even mention this. Right before he hits the shot, he hurt his ankle, limped back to the huddle. We were all like, at MSG, at the studio, we're all sitting there going, oh, my God, like they lose this guy. Like he's limping now. It's like, not this. He comes out of the huddle and, he just plays. He's a dog. He calls himself that. What a shot. Wally and I were saying in the postgame show at MSG, we were both saying, onions, right? You know, like to quote the great Bill Rafferty, that's what that shot was like. So, again, Hart leads the bench, and even without Quickly, the Knicks bench outscores the Cavs bench 37-14. I give a dap to Isaiah Hartenstein as well. 8 points, 5 rebounds. Talk about another big play. Hustle to a loose ball late in the game. Gave the Knicks another possession in the final minute. How about Obi Toppin as well? 9 points, 4 rebounds, plus 12 in just 14 minutes. And gave Randall like much needed breaks throughout the game because Randall said that he was sucking wind. Like it wasn't the ankle, it was the conditioning for Randall. So Obi coming in and giving you positive minutes. Huge off the bench. All right, third element, rebounding. That was going to be and still is a stat to watch this entire series. Cavs coach J.V. Bickerstaff had talked about how important rebounding will be when it comes to his team beating the Knicks. In game one, the Knicks owned the glass, 51-38. Most of the damage was done on the offensive boards. The Knicks grabbed 17 offensive rebounds. It turned it to 23 second-chance points. Listen, that's a massive number in a playoff game, especially one like this where offense was such a struggle for both teams. The Knicks, third-best rebounding team in the league, third-best offensive rebounding team in the league, third-highest second-chance points in the game in the NBA as well, and second-chance points are basically off offensive rebounds. I mean, this is their strength. And the Cavs, even with their tall but thin front line, you got Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, they're going to have to figure out a way to stop this, to combat this. Because the Knicks have dominated them on the boards, even in their matchups during the season. Another key stat to throw in that favored the Knicks was transition. Now, the Cavs like to play a slow pace, and they actually play the slowest pace in the NBA this season, and they want to keep it that way. And in the playoffs, it generally does slow down. But the Knicks hit the accelerator, and they hit it a lot in game one. 11 steals, 14 Cavs turnovers, and those turnovers turned to 26 points off turnovers. Big number. They also scored 17 on the fast break as well. These are all trends that you want to see continue. All right, now, the final element in the formula of success for game one was, of course, Jalen Brunson. Like I mentioned earlier, the Garden should play Enter Sandman. You want to play, Narcos. Whatever you want to do, he's the closer. Because when he gets into crunch time, it's Jalen Brunson time. See, like I said, Randle sets the tone, starts the game. But Brunson closes the deal. And despite the fact he only played 9 minutes in the first half, he got three quick fouls. I mean, some of them were kind of ticky-tack, but this was a physical game. But he got three fouls, and you could tell he was frustrated. But he stays patient. Second half, he still ends up becoming the team's leading scorer because he gets to work in the second half. 12 points in the third quarter, made a lot of winning plays late, had that pull-up with a little over a minute to go. That made it 97-93. Then, after Mitchell hits a couple of free throws, Donovan Mitchell hits a couple of free throws, Brunson then gets that lefty floater finish over Chetty Osmond with about 35 seconds to go. That made it the four-point lead, and you felt pretty good at that point when he makes that layup. And that's all off hustle plays too, by the way, leading to Brunson making the big finish. I mean, the hustle plays are great, but they mean nothing if you don't get the finish. Brunson gave you the finish. Speaking of Osmond guarding him, so that's another interesting move that Bickerstaff made in the second half. Isaac Okoro was supposed to get this job. Okoro couldn't make a shot. He's really a non-shooter, and they know it. So when you're trailing by double figures in a playoff game, you can't afford to have a non-shooter, non-scorer out on the court. So they turned out Chetty Osmond. He's 6'7", vet, long arms, big body, but he could shoot, too. He knocked down a couple of threes. So for a minute, it looked like it was working because he slowed Brunson down a little bit, and they were bringing late traps in pick and roll, and it led to a couple of turnovers. But then once he got him on an island and he just went isolation on him, it was a wrap. I mean, that was basically it. And they're going to have to rethink this. But no surprise, it's Jalen Brunson closing the deal for the Knicks, and Julius Randle loved it.
It was great. You know, JB controlled the pace, got us good shots, made good shots in the end. And, it's a good first win for us.
First win, you need three more. All right, then, like I said, the Knicks hold now the series lead. For the first time since they beat the Celtics in the first round in 2013, by the way. And so up 1-0, the next game, Tuesday, you get a couple of days rest now. That's big for Randle. Game 2 in Cleveland on Tuesday night. So let me leave you with some more notes and quotes on this whole thing. I love this story. It's just like after the game, if you're watching post-game on MSG, you see Jalen Brunson's at the podium and he's talking. And he looks up and you just see this look of disdain on his face and he shakes his head. And in walks Josh Hart. Josh Hart's got this T-shirt on. And we don't know what he's making a face at until he sits down and you see it. And Josh Hart's wearing a T-shirt with a Slam magazine cover. It's a basketball magazine. And recently, Jalen Brunson was on the cover of Slam magazine. So Josh Hart made a T-shirt out of the cover and, you know, explained that, you know, after this game might not be a shirt that he'll wear again.
You know, he was on the cover of Slam, I guess, a couple weeks ago, so I bought a shirt. I told him I was going to wear it at some point. You know, he gets in foul trouble the day I wear it, so I'm going to go burn it and never wear it again.
I don't know. He still had a really good game, and they still won. Might keep that shirt. Could be a collector's item. All right, let me give you some more nerd notes before we call it a day. You know, this is stuff I love. Useless stats, Wally always says, but I know a lot of you like this stuff. I like putting this stuff together. It's a lot of fun, especially after wins. But it's all interesting. Historical things here. And some of this is going to blow your mind. So how about this? This is the 17th time the Knicks have won a Game 1 on the road in franchise history. Do you know that's the most Game 1 road wins in NBA playoff history? No other franchise has won as many Game 1 road wins. Have won as many road wins, had as many road wins. I don't know how to word this. Game one on the road wins. How about that? That's it in NBA history. It's complicated, but they're detailed. They and the Sixers were once tied with 16, but it's 17 now. Now, again, you have to go all the way back to 1999 for the last time they won a game one on the road. So it's been a while, but still 17, the most in NBA history, a rarity. And here's another thing, another one of these statistical anomalies. It's just a weird, funny kind of matchup thing. The Knicks are 9-1 now all time against the Cavaliers in the playoffs. You know, they never faced the Cavs when LeBron was there. So you never had to worry about that. But they did when it was like Terrell Brandon and like Brad Daugherty, you know, those guys. This goes all the way back. It's crazy. So our friends at ESPN Stats and Info Group, it's the seventh instance of a team winning 9 of the first 10 playoff games against a single opponent. But this one goes all the way back to 1978. So they had that series. So they swept. Well, back then it was a best of three, so it was just two games. So in 78, they win those two games. Then they won three out of four in 95. Then they got a 3-0 sweep in 96, and then you get this game one win, and there you go. So it's a spread out history, but the Knicks have dominated the Cavaliers in postseason play. Let's just leave it like that. 9 out of 10. And then finally this one. The Knicks held the Cavs to 97 points. So they kept an opponent under 100. During the regular season, they did that 11 times. They won all 11 games. So when the Knicks hold an opponent under 100, they tend to win. And the same holds true for the postseason. I had to look this up. I had to check it like three or four times to make sure this was right because it blew my mind. Did you know that in the last 68 playoff wins the Knicks have had, which is going back 30 years, every win the Knicks have had in the postseason has held the opponent under 100. Isn't that nuts? The last time the Knicks won a playoff game and the opponent scored over 100 points was May 18th, 1993. Where were you? Where were you? I was graduating college. May 18th, 93. And it was when they clinched the second round series. It was the clinching game, second round series against the Charlotte Hornets. It was 105-101. They give 101 points. Guarantee you Rawls wasn't happy about that one. Wanted to keep that one under 100. I mean, blows your mind. 68 wins. Their last 68 playoff wins have all held the opponent under 100. That's just amazing. I don't know if that'll hold up in this series. The Cavs, that's a good offense, but the Knicks did a phenomenal job against them, and especially their bigs. Something to watch for in game two. Can they keep up the defense? Can they live with Donovan Mitchell getting 38-40, but no one else getting untracked? Can they get Emmanuel quickly going? Because if they get him going, this series could be over sooner than we thought. All right, thanks for listening. We'll do this again after game two. And for more Knicks coverage, of course, be sure to tune in to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Alan Hahn's Knicks Fix Podcast, exclusively on the ESPN New York app.